cities without inhabitant. Could it happen in America? Our subject text for this series, and this is part two, was Isaiah 6. We read all of that chapter, and especially verses 9 and 10, after God had given Isaiah this vision to go to the children of Israel, and he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed." So here was God sending a prophet to the Israel people, in effect, to shut their eyes and shut their ears, so they did not see and did not understand. Now, Isaiah obviously must have been very startled, but he did not question God except to ask for how long. "Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land." And we also read God's warning to another prophet, Ezekiel, in chapter 7, verses 23 and 24, "Make a chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes, and the city is full of violence. Wherefore, or because of that, I will bring the worst of the heathen, and they shall possess their houses, and I will also make the pomp of the strong to seize, and their holy places shall be defiled." So this and other prophecies were that God would bring heathen people into the land. And we know from the history books of the Bible, 2 Kings 16, 17, and 18, that God did remove Israel from their cities. He did not leave the cities vacant. He brought in other people. So we had to assume that this prophecy or judgment that Israel's cities would be without inhabitant meant without Israelite inhabitant. That they would have heathen who would actually come in and take over the cities of Israel until they would be desolate. Now this did work upon Israel in ancient times, as we know. We read in the law, Leviticus 26, that God told them, "If you will not obey my voice and my commandment, this is what I will do. I will take you out of your cities, and I will put heathen and enemy peoples right in the cities of Israel." Now the question, to some extent, is this happening in America, Israel, today? Some of you already can see the fact that the center part of many of our great cities are inhabited by colored people, either Negroes or people who are part Negro. The whites are moving out. The great cry of the liberals is, we must save our cities. We must stop the white people from moving out of the cities. In fact, they want the white people to mix with the colored so desperately that they're having to go out into the suburbs and haul the white people back in, or the white children, I should say, back into the Negro schools, because the whites, the Anglo-Saxon Israelites, are being taken out. And I believe it's by the hand of God, are being taken out of their cities, and the cities are becoming desolate without Israelite inhabitant. Now, during some of my travels, and I know some of you people have done the same thing, you've driven through the center of some of America's largest cities, and they're very dark. The people are colored, Negro and other colored races. Now, I have a few newspaper articles again that I want to just comment on briefly. Just a few days ago, some of you perhaps saw the headline in the local newspaper, 200,000 Mexicans poised to cross border. Since the president has been talking about this so-called amnesty, apparently even the Mexican government, in order to get rid of hundreds of thousands of unemployed people that they're having to feed, they are passing around Mexico the rumor that all Mexicans inside the United States will come under the amnesty and be allowed to stay. So they're coming across the border not by the tens of thousands, but by the hundreds of thousands. Even our own government admits that the illegal Mexican aliens already in the United States may number somewhere between 6 million and as high as 10 million. Probably most of them would come under the amnesty. In the last few weeks, the number coming across would indicate that we may have another 5 or 10 million by the end of this year, just in a few months. Here is another thing which is bringing in literally tens of thousands, perhaps more, of aliens from other lands. The headline reads, "Hungry Americans Supporting Aliens Riding Gravy Train." Well, the description here is of a ruling by the federal government that any person who is related to some American citizen can come into the United States as long as someone will sign as a sponsor. They sign a statement saying they will sponsor that person to a job or take care of them. But once that person gets into America, then if the sponsor does not provide food and housing for them or they do not have a job, then there is a special deal under the Social Security where they receive what is called Social Security green cards, and then they get Social Security payments if they're over 62 years of age. Now also, this 8 to 10 million Mexican aliens, we have to consider the probability that all of them, or a good share of them, are younger people with families. So in a few years, they will add millions more to our cities and our states. I mentioned this newspaper last week. The New York Post published after the 24 hour of darkness in New York City. And I thought I'd read a few more paragraphs on this page. This shows a bunch of Negroes fighting in the streets over the loot. It says, "Neighborhood residents fight over the spoils during ransacking of stores along Broadway in the Bedford-Stuyvesant district yesterday." The article says, 6,000 cops swung into a massive police operation, arresting 3,481 people during a terror-filled 25 hours of widespread looting and arson that brought the city to the edge of hysteria. Spurred by the blackout, looters and arsonists poured into the streets of Harlem, the South Bronx, Queens, and Brooklyn, smashing stores to pieces, stealing millions of dollars worth of goods, burning shops, and reducing city blocks to rubble-strewn shells. Worst hit was a mile-long section of Broadway in the Bushwick section of Brooklyn. It resembled a huge, blackened bomb site. One cop from the Ralph Avenue Station House, who had been on duty 16 hours, leaned exhausted against the wall and summed up the blackout in 7 words, "It was the night of the animals." It tells that they were forced to open old jails that they had closed, and they were unfit for human habitation to move these people in, and finally the order came, "No more arrests, we have no place to put them." In some cases, not a single item was left behind by the rampaging gangs that ripped off guard gates, charged through windows, and picked stores clean. In all areas of looting, police even gave up on arresting suspects, concentrating on dispersing them instead, because the sheer weight of the numbers would have had city cells bursting at the seams. As soon as one gang of looters was routed on one side of the street, another gang would appear across the way. "It was like chasing the wind," said Officer Jack McGowan, who led a 4-man anti-looting squad on Broadway. Looters were so blatant that they backed trucks up to furniture stores and loaded huge sofas and beds only blocks away from the station house. And the article goes on here, page after page after page, and mentions again that this area appeared just like a bombed and burned out city, because the Negroes went back after they looted, or somebody went back and deliberately set fire over 900 fires in the Negro areas of the city of New York. And then when the police and firemen arrived to fight the fires, they were shot at, and stones and bottles were thrown from the rooftops by the Negroes to prevent them from fighting. Here is an article by Paul Harvey, "What is it that sparked the Night of the Animals?" They're calling it the Night of the Animals, New York City's billion-dollar blackout and orgy of related looting. When normally the mostly liberal media are inclined to apologize for ghetto crime, attributing it to deprivation, not this time. And then he lists some of the liberals who actually spoke out against these people. They were so shocked as what happened. And then he mentions London. London's Daily Mail gave 2 pages to the pillage captioned, "The City That Went Berserk in the Dark." London's Daily Telegraph headline, "Looters, Vandals, Arsonists Bring Terror terror to city. London Daily Express said, quote, civilization went out like a light. Then he quotes a few more and refers to the previous blackout in 1965, but he said, this time 900 fires, 55 big ones, whole blocks of businesses were obliterated as though from a bombing. Furniture showrooms were emptied. From a single car dealership, 50 new Pontiacs were stolen. TV sets, stereo, liquor, and guns by the tons. Shopkeepers in tears stood over the rubble that had been their livelihood, their investment of a lifetime, asking why. It was a dog-weary detective, and then he mentions the same one who said it was the night of the animals. In 1965, he explained, we were dealing with human beings. These are animals. And he goes on and on and on about how the government has provided the welfare for these people, and they've come to expect it. So when they see something they can get, they just go out and get it, which is about as good an explanation as any. And then Paul Harvey, who is somewhat of a conservative, says something about we have to solve this problem. He mentions some ways, but he says this, any way which will not put the torch to all our cities, ? So Paul Harvey, like many other people, have recognized that New York City may not be the only one. What would happen with Pittsburgh and Philadelphia and Columbus and Chicago and these other areas with hundreds of thousands of Negro residents in the center cities? What if they have a blackout sometime? What if someone sabotages the electrical system and brings the city to darkness in the middle of the night? Will we have the same thing? The answer, of course, agreed upon by most of these people is yes. The Negroes in the other cities will do the very same thing. Well, after several days of that, as you know, the liberal news media must have realized they were calling the Negroes animals. So they had to come out and try to stop that. And Max Lerner, who is a Jewish leftist columnist from New York City, wrote one called, Don't Call New York Looters Animals. And he wanted to point out that, well, these were people that didn't have things and things like that. But in the process of writing this article, and it's quite long, he did give a description of the Negroes and their lifestyle in our major cities, which most of you white people don't know anything about. And you listen to it. This is a New York Jew writing about the New York Negroes. He says, most of the debate ignores the fact that cries out for recognition that an underclass has emerged in America. Many of the people in Brooklyn's Bushwick area and in the South Bronx belong to it. Now, he calls them an underclass, but remember, he's speaking of Negroes. Its unemployment rate is a multiple of the national average, perhaps as high as 25 or 30%. 2 out of 3 of its families are on welfare. Its young people live largely on the streets, fight with gangs with knives, strip cars, set fires, get involved in rip-offs, rub shoulders with junkies. They learn their idiom and values from each other and from the TV whose true children they are. Now, I want to make a comment on that. They have had some surveys of America's major cities, and some of you have probably wondered why so many of the television commercials have Negroes in the commercials. The answer is that they, at any one time, more Negroes are watching television than whites. The reason being, the whites spend a good share of their day working, trying to earn a living and pay the taxes, while most of the Negroes do not work, but live on welfare, and all they do is drink soda pop or take drugs or drink liquor and watch television. And they have as much money to spend as you have. So the commercials are directed at them, and I might add, television is a creature of Jewry. And this Jew admits these Negroes are reacting to some extent because of the influence of TV, Jewish TV. He goes on, they are streetwise but ignorant in other ways. Their reading is minimal. Neither school nor church has meaning for them. Their family structure is loose. Well, that's a good way or an easy way of saying that most of those women on welfare don't know who the father of their children is or are. Their housing is ramshackle, their streets neglected, their squalor joyless, their food unnutritive junk. And then he goes on, typical Jewish propaganda, to blame the white people for the way the Negroes live. Well, I'll tell you that my ancestors didn't have very much either, and you know what they did? They went out and took a team of horses or an oxen or a plow or a hoe, and they made themselves a living right out of the dirt of the ground. The Negro does not. He lives off whatever he can pick in the jungle or whatever he can take from society in which he lives. But it's rather interesting that they use that over and over again. It was the night of the animals. And all of these people apparently were rather surprised to see what had actually happened or what these people actually did. Now, I'm not going to take time during this sermon. I do want to complete this today to show you that it is happening in America, that America's cities are becoming desolate without Israelite inhabitants. But I would suggest that everyone who has not done so get a copy of the book In the Image of God, which we have available, and read it. I believe the man makes a good case out of the Bible, out of history, out of information on anthropology, that the Negro is not of the human species, that the Negro is what the Bible calls the beast of the field. In other words, the Negro is a higher order of ape. He is an animal. And strangely enough, even the liberals, when they saw what the Negro did, when he finally got loose, got out of his cage, got out of the control of the police, he acted like an animal, and they called him that. Well, if they only studied their Bible and studied some of the history of the world, they would realize that the Negro is exactly that. I'm not going to take time to read all the scriptures. You should read the book, In the Image of God. Now, before we continue with the scripture, I want to mention another thing. And this, of course, is what our enemies plan. And as I read these things, you remember, all of us, and I'm referring to we Kingdom Identity ministers, sometimes preach on and read what seems to be terrible news. But remember, we do it knowing that God allows these things to happen because of our sin and iniquity. Whatever happened in New York City, whatever may happen in some of these other cities, is happening because of us. And God is allowing our enemy to plan and carry out things against us because we refuse to have His Word. I've covered this other thing about America's cities on a previous study on the planned, quote-unquote, nuclear war, which would empty our cities. And you think on that when we're talking about God saying, your cities will be empty without inhabitants. Here is an article headline, Pentagon plans to evacuate 135 million Americans if there is nuclear war. And they explain that, which I explained in that previous series, it is God's battle. That traitors in the United States government plan to bring about a limited nuclear war, and they will first frighten the American people, apparently over several weeks or at least some days, perhaps even exploding some nuclear bombs inside the United States. Then they will tell the people, the only way we can save you is to get out of the target area. You'll have to go out into the small towns and the rural areas. They are preparing this in advance. And the plan is to evacuate every major city in America. They will use the National Guard, the police forces, and the U.S. Army to actually herd American citizens out of their homes at gunpoint. You will go or you will be shot in order to get you out of the cities. Here is one local one. Plan calls for evacuating Phoenix and Tucson if nuclear attack is likely. And they're saying, well, we may have as much as 3 days' notice. Can you imagine the Soviet Union giving us a 3 days' notice that they're going to send missiles over here, missiles which could arrive in 30 minutes? No, there will be no notice, but this will be used as an excuse to drive the American citizens out of their cities. Now, you know, and I know, that once the American citizen is taken out into the wilderness by the hundreds of thousands and millions, there will be no food. Let me ask you what you think the Negroes will do when they are forced to begin to move out of the cities. You know what they will do? They will ransack and destroy and burn every small town in America. We think they're all going to go out there and sit down and wait for the army trucks to bring food. No, they're not going to do it. The white people may be very patient for hours and even days, waiting for the authorities to provide them the food to keep them alive, food which will probably never come, because they plan to bring about the deaths, I believe, of tens of millions, perhaps 100 million, of our Anglo-Saxon people. This is the enemy, the Jewish enemy that sits in control of the American government and the Soviet Union, is planning this thing. But it all fits prophecy that God said when Israel was in disobedience of His law, He would actually turn over their cities to the non-Israelites. Now, whether the combination of the two will come at any one time or not, I don't know. But I would suggest that if they come to pass, some of our people should certainly see, be able to see by that time, the hand of God upon America, Israel. Now, I pray to God that none of this comes to pass in this manner, or that I should say, that our people awaken long before it does. Turn with me to Ezekiel 33, starting in verse 24 of Ezekiel 33. Son of man, they that inhabit those wastes of the land of Israel speak, saying, Abraham was one, and he inherited the land, but we are many. The land is given us for inheritance. Wherefore say unto them, in other words, Israel is saying, we have this great land, it's given to us. God says to the prophet, you say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, ye eat with blood, and lift up your eyes toward your idols, and shed blood, and shall ye possess the land? The great goal of every Israelite seems to be to have land, to occupy land, to work in the land. Our people seem to have an instinct to grow things. And God says, no, you think you're going to have the land while you're in sin and iniquity? You stand upon your sword, you work abomination, and you defile everyone his neighbor's wife, and shall ye possess the land? Say thou thus unto them, thus saith the Lord God, as I live, surely they that are in the waste shall fall by the sword, and him that is in the open field will I give to the beasts to be devoured, and they that be in the forts and in the caves shall die of the pestilence. Now this is very hard for me to say. I think it would be very hard for any Israelite identity minister to say. But do you realize what God said here? He said, you Israel people who are going to be out in the wasteland, I'm going to give you to the beasts to devour. Now, you know, we don't have enough carnivorous beasts in America to eat very many people, do we? Like the lions and the bear and things like that. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about a helpless Israelite people driven out of their cities, out into the wastelands and the mountains, being eaten by cannibal Negroes. As I say, this is a terrible thing to even consider. Eaten by the beasts of the field. I've talked to police officers from other cities, and I've had them tell me that inside the Negro areas of the major cities of America today, the Negroes are practicing cannibalism. They kill and eat other Negroes. The jungleizing of the central cities of America is so great that in some cities, police do not enter the Negro areas at night at all. They are not safe in uniform. For I will lay the land most desolate, and the pomp of her strength shall cease, and the mountains of Israel shall be desolate, and none shall pass through. Then shall they know that I am the Lord, when I have laid the land most desolate because of all their abominations which they have committed. Now that fits what we read in Isaiah 6. God said Israel would be blind, they would not see, they would not hear, they would not understand until the land is desolate. I don't know how far this will go. All I can do as a preacher is warn you what the Bible says and tell you what you can find out by reading your paper, it's already beginning to happen in the United States of America. And you can see the seeds of a greater destruction has already been laid. Even the last census in 1970, the United States Census Bureau admitted they did not have an accurate count of the Negroes because in many of the Negro areas they couldn't get census takers who would risk their lives to go into those houses and ask those Negroes how many people lived there. So the Negro census in America was not even completed years ago because they are what some of the news media has now recognized. They are animals. I should mention this. Perhaps some of you don't know this. I usually think our white people know more about the Negro than they do. But I discovered recently that a lot of white people do not know that the Negro is a nocturnal creature. The Negro sleeps in the daytime and prowls at night. Just to satisfy my own curiosity, how many of you people here, just raise your hands, did you know that? The Negro is a nocturnal creature. He sleeps in the daytime, 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock, and midnight comes along and he's out having a great time, and they go all night long. The reason is they are a night creature. If they work at all, they work best at night. And this, of course, is why this rioting and so on that took place in New York City at night, these people were in their element, picking up that which was free at night when they can see better and the cops couldn't see what was going on. Sure, they are a night creature. They are a night animal. It's a terrible thing to say, but that's exactly what they are. Turn to Ezekiel 35. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir and prophesy against it. We have identified before that Mount Seir is Esau Edom, which is modern Jewry, or the Reds, as we would know them. Verse 10, Because thou hast said, These two nations and these two countries shall be mine, and we will possess it, whereas the Lord was there. God is against them because they are trying to divide up Israel's land. Verse 15, As thou didst rejoice at the inheritance of the house of Israel, because it was desolate, so will I do unto thee. Thou shalt be desolate, O Mount Seir, and all Edomia, even all of it, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Part of the reason that the looting and rioting in New York City was as bad as it was is that the Jewish mayor ordered the police not to use their guns. They were not to fire their weapons at any of the looters. In other words, the Jewish control apparatus of New York allowed this thing to go as it did. Now, there may be some who will say, well, I'm not going to worry about the looting and so on because, after all, I'll protect my property with a gun. Well, there were people in New York City who did protect their property with guns or clubs or whatever, and they saved their stores or their property from being looted. But, according to some newspaper accounts, somebody, probably Negroes, came back and told them that they were going to kill them because of what they did, keeping their property from being looted. And those people, having a little bit of prudence, apparently have had to then just leave or sell their property, their homes, and so on. They have had to leave the whole area or New York City. So the gun saved their property one night. They had to abandon it the next day. So don't look for the arm of flesh to save you from things which perhaps God has decreed. Ezekiel 36, verse 3 and 4. Therefore prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Because they have made you desolate, speaking to Israel, and followed you up on every side, that ye might be a possession under the residue of the heathen, and ye are taken up in the lips of the talkers, and are an infamy of the people, therefore, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains, and to the hills, and to the rivers, and to the valleys, to the desolate wastes, and to the cities that are forsaken, which became a prey and a derision to the residue of the heathen that are round about. So God is here speaking to an Israel whose cities are already desolate, already occupied by the heathen, already the Israelites driven out and gone out of their cities. Verse 5, therefore thus saith the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen, and against all Idumea, which have appointed my land into their possession with the joy of all their hearts, and with despiteful minds to cast it out for a prey. So God then, at the time Israel's cities are desolate, then God will speak against the desolators. Red Edom Jewry. Prophesy therefore concerning the land of Israel, and say unto the mountains, and to the hills, and to the rivers, and to the valleys, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because ye have borne the shame of the heathen. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, I have lifted up mine hand, surely the heathen that are about you, they shall bear their shame. Then he goes on and tells Israel how he, God Almighty, will then bring judgment on the heathen, destroy them, drive them out, and give Israel back their land. But ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches, and shall yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you. How about that? Israel and disobedience and iniquity, God brings judgment upon them to allow their cities to be desolate, but God says, Israel, I'm for you. I'm on your side. And I will turn unto you, and ye shall be tilled and sown. And I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it. And the city shall be inhabited, and the waste shall be builded. This speaks of a rebuilding of the waste, the cities that have been made waste by the heathen God has allowed to come into Israel's cities. And I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit. And I will settle you after your old estates, and will do better unto you than at your beginning, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Yea, I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people Israel. See, here is the re-inhabiting of all of these desolate cities by Israelites. Now, we in our own stupidity and foolishness would not keep the non-Israelites out. We would mix with them. So God himself is going to have to allow them to take over a great part of this land and then drive them out. And they shall possess thee, and thou shalt be their inheritance, and thou shalt no more henceforth bereave them of men. You'll never allow your cities to come under desolation again. This is the promise, of course. Turn to Isaiah 1. God speaks to an Israel in disobedience in the first few verses of Isaiah 1. Verse 5, he says, why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even under the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And they do. They're taking over control of all of the large areas of America, industry, land, and everything. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion, this is end time Israel, is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. The Israelites will be literally a people surrounded by enemies in a land which has become their enemy's land. Whether they're Asiatics who come here and buy it, or whether they come here and go on welfare and then are furnished a city, it is becoming their land. But praise God for the next verse. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. That was what we read in Isaiah 6. After God told Isaiah, you go tell them they'll be blind, that their cities are desolate, but then in verse 13, but yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return. In other words, that tithe in Israel will turn to God, and shall be eaten as a tail tree and as an oak, whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. The holy tenth in Israel will be God's tithe, so that we will not be as Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you realize that if God allowed the heathen to take over all of our lands and institute all of their filthy religious practices and become cannibals as they are, that we would have a nation literally like Sodom and Gomorrah? A lot of our Israelites today are following heathen customs and bringing destruction upon our nation. All right, I'm just going to read a few verses here. Ezekiel 7, in verse 27, we read in the part of that where God said he would take the worst of the heathen and bring them into Israel's houses. But in verse 27, he ends it by saying, I will do unto them after their way, and according to their deserts will I judge them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Every one of these prophecies ends up the same way. Israel, when you have enough, you'll turn and you'll know that I am God. Isaiah 60. You should read all of these last several chapters, but Isaiah 60 and verse 18 speaks this way, Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation and gates praise, an end to the wasting and destruction of the Israel land. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. We've covered that before, and I believe that is a prophecy of the year of the Lord, or the Jubilee, the cancellation of all debts, and the return of all land to its rightful owners. Remember, the year of Jubilee was the return of all land to its rightful owners. If this Bible is true, and our interpretation of it is true, then America is Israel's land. So sometime there will be a 12-month period when Israel's land will be returned to Israel. Now, to be returned to Israel, it must mean that it has been taken away from them, right? And I think we see that process already underway. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And here's what they'll do. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, they shall repair the waste cities. You see, when God gives the land back to Israel, it will be a land with wasted, destroyed cities. I think what we saw in New York City and what we see going on daily as the years go by will culminate in a great destruction in America and then the turning of Israel and God's intervention. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Now, I would suggest that you read all of those last ones. My time is about up. So I want to just close by saying this. I believe we are going to see a time of trouble in the United States of America such as many of us never dreamed of 25 years ago. I think some of the people in New York City have just caught a glimpse of what can happen when the Negro is turned loose where he does not fear punishment at the hand of the white man. These newspaper articles that I read, the reporters would write in there over and over, they did not fear arrest, so, and then they tell what they did. They were unafraid. If we have such a thing as the total breakdown of law and order, if we do have even this partial carrying out of this so-called planned atomic war and a partial evacuation of our cities, the millions, God only knows how many, the millions of Negroes and other non-Israelites in this land who do not have God's law written in their hearts, who have a morality of their own that has no resemblance to the Ten Commandments, will become savages and destroyers in this land. And they could make desolate a score or a hundred of America's cities in one night. In one night. It can happen. So I want you to keep in mind that every one of these prophecies where God said he would allow this thing to come to pass was because of our sin and iniquity, and God gave a promise, we would know, our eyes would be opened, we would turn, God would pour his Spirit out upon us, and then, and only then, God will turn this land back to Israel and will begin the new age. This old age is going to end with violence. All of the Bible tells us that. I think we've seen a glimpse of it. So you hold on to that truth, that it will come to an end, and pray that we will be part of that tenth in Israel that turns to God and stands steadfast in the closing days of this age. Let's all stand. Our Father, the God of Abraham, we praise your name for these words that thou hast given us, that you are a just God, you are a righteous God. You have prophesied and warned that certain things would come to pass if we did not listen to your voice. And Father, we pray for all who hear these sermons, that they will keep in mind that these things are under your hand and under your control. You are working a great work in Israel. We praise your name for it, and we say, speed the day when you will pour out your Spirit upon us and turn us to thee in truth and in righteousness. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.